Okay, let's do it.
Let's do this. Hi.
Hi.
I'm Lynn.
I'm Vicky.
And we are
Telling on Ourselves.
Yes, we are. And we have a very special guest today.
Yip, yip.
Whoop, whoop.
Hey now.
Hey.
Who is that sexy voice?
Hey guys, it's Mark. Good to be here.
He's actually been with us once before, and he asked for a repeat performance, and we, of course, said yes.
And fun fact, his episode was the most downloaded episode, the one we did with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't think we told you that, did we?
Yeah. That's new news to me.
He has many friends and a big mouth.
Oh, yeah. I have about 74 devices, so I was each and every one of those downloads.
That's right.
Yeah. Self-supporting through my own contributions.
Well, we are so happy to have you back here today. And can you tell us a little bit about what we're going to talk about?
Yeah. I'm super passionate, like we all are, about recovery. But I am also grateful to be employed in a position which is called a peer support specialist. And people kind of have heard this term used a lot more lately. It's something that's been around for eons. Mm-hmm. It's something that the 12 Steps programs have used for 86 years, which is really one person helping another person in their journey to recovery. The amazing part about my job is that it doesn't always strictly deal with addiction, mm-hmm. per se. Also, it's behavioral health. So whether it be, mental health concerns, schizophrenia, depression, bipolar, it can be gambling, overeating,
shopping,
sex.
Absolutely, sex, shopping,
all the things.
Absolutely.
Well, the one thing that I have learned is that you can't do it alone.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I am so excited to dig into this, but before that, we're going to do a first thought wrong. And I had one that I was going to do, and I'm like, oh, it'll be great. But then Vicky and I had a little thing.
Yeah.
Before we started, I'm like, well, here's the perfect first thought wrong.
We had a moment.
I got to witness one.
Yeah.
I got to witness one in real time.
And was it uncomfortable?
It was. He was uncomfortable. But we worked through it.
Awkward.
Yeah. Remember, Vicky and I are like sisters.
Yes.
And we can say difficult things, and it's not personal.
I'm like, look in my eyes. I'm telling you the truth.
And then I was able to very quickly uncover exactly why I was so upset about it.
Yeah.
But do you want to kind of start it? And then
so I have a thesis coming up. I'm in a leadership program, and I have an awesome thesis. And any of you fans that would like to be here, I will put the information in our show notes because I would love to have TOO people there. Yeah. But I really deeply want my dear friend Lynn to be there. It's important. And Mark too. And so I said I was being very
serious.
Demonstrative because because of the love I have for these people. And I said, okay, let's pick a date. And I backed off because I saw something happening, and then what happened?
But you didn't just say pick a date. It has to be during the week.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to be during the week.
So, and she said it a couple of times, like several times.
During the week.
During the week. And I immediately revert to, well, I have no way to determine on a day-to-day basis what my day is going to be like and how much I'm going to be tied up until I'm actually in it, unless there's like way a lot. It's nearly impossible. And she kept saying, pick a day during the week. And I'm like, what time? And I'm like, I don't know. 8 to 11? She goes, p.m.? And I'm like, no, in the morning. Well, other people can't do that because they're working. So then
and you're like, I'm working too, dummy.
And that reminds me, yeah, I know I have a difficult schedule. I know it's different than the rest of the world. So immediately I go into resentment because here I am once again missing out on something because of my very difficult work schedule.
Deep breath.
It was a deep breath. And then she goes, I'm kidding. I want you to be there, but whatever. And then Mark on the other side is just kind of looking and kind of like having a pained smile. Like, I don't know what to do right now, so I'm just going to be really quiet. And then I looked at him. I said, this is about my resentments, right?
Well, here's the beauty of it. Everything always works out.
Always.
And here's the thing. When you have love for people that you meet in this program or in the world or your siblings or whatever, when you have a deep love for someone, that supersedes any scheduling mm-hmm. situation. And no matter what, you're always there. Hate to break it to you, but you're always there. And I think your ears ring a lot because I talk about you an awful lot. So don't you worry. If you can be there, you can't be there, you're already there.
Exactly. And I do want to be there. I mean, I feel very strongly about it. I want to be a part of this. I want to celebrate and share with Vicky, because I see the change that has happened with her because of her doing this very difficult, very demanding work, and to watch her discipline and to see her bloom, to flourish the way that she has. I want to witness that. I want to witness this other part of it. And then I get all pissed off because here I am, you know, locked to a schedule that
working
I can't ever predict.
Working a real cool job. You do have a cool job, though.
I do have a cool job. And I do some really amazing things. Mm-hmm. But it's not perfect because I don't get to do exactly what I want. You know, it's still determined by people's eating schedules.
I know. How right? dare they eat on time?
Dinner.
Gosh.
Anyway. So we worked it out. So there was a win.
Yes.
Because I very quickly was able to cycle through why am I getting so upset about this? And it's like, oh, because I still, you know, I have resentments about how I'm locked into my schedule and I'm not able to do the fun things that I want to do and share with the people that I love.
And that's a win, which is our new segment. That's a win. And here's, can I share what my win is?
Please.
I didn't take any of it personally. I did not take it personally, not even a little bit.
Nope.
Right. I just watched it and I shared my truth and I love you and you're having your feelings are okay.
Exactly.
And safe.
Yep.
I have goosebumps.
And it was so cool because she said, look at me. It's okay. I'm not, and I know because I trust her, and I trust everything that comes out of that woman's mouth. So
yes. Unfortunately, like I can't lie anymore.
It's like a safe place to be. Yeah. Really awkward.
Well, to be yourself and to take a stand for your truth and like, yes, this is upsetting because what about my job? Like, you're allowed to have your feelings. I'm allowed to that's what's so cool about having real friends and being real and being authentic and being. Able to not people please to a wedding that you don't even have coming up when you're not even engaged.
Right. Which is a great one that I'm making a note that we're going to share the next time because it's got to have its own space.
Oh, juicy. Super juicy.
Oh, it's so good. All right. Are we ready to roll?
I'm ready. You ready?
I mean, I think what you guys just talked about, right, is meeting each other where we're at.
Yeah.
Right? And so, and giving a safe place to do that, right? And that's where I think we're really, I take it for granted how lucky we are in a program that we're in, you know, where it's like this idea of, you know, we're going to meet you where you're at. We don't expect you to be at a certain place, mm-hmm. right? And that's what I heard with you guys was Vicky's in California, Lynn's in Texas, and Vicky's saying, I need you in California. And Lynn's saying, but I'm in Texas right now.
Yeah.
Right. And so wherever that safe meeting place is, if that person cannot get themselves in that example to get to the next state, then we're going to walk to them, you mm-hmm. know? And I think that, so peer support. So peer meaning, right? Like one of us, I like the saying, not about us without us. Right. So this is that idea of we're sort of, able to have our own journey in recovery. And then help another person through their journey, you know, and help is an interesting word too, right? Because we're not, you know, we're offering, so the two assets to a peer support specialist, one is active listening, which is something I'm still working on very much because I love talking, listening, not so much. I even had a friend give me advice the last podcast. They said it was so good, except you really talked a lot in the first 5 minutes, which of course is great for my ego, right? Because I'm like, I only pinpoint on the thing I didn't do right. But what they meant was they said they could hear me get comfortable.
Yep.
Right? And so that's that understanding of like active listening, listening with intent, listening for specific things, right? Looking for those, it's almost like you're looking for the handles, right, to grab onto.
Can I interject and say, I think I learned the most skills in meetings with active, because when we're sharing, you're not allowed to crosstalk. You don't get your opinion. You have to give every person that space to share. And it was so hard because especially in the beginning, I was so worked up about what I was going to say that you couldn't listen to anybody else. Yeah. And I noticed the big shift when finally I was able to just be in the moment with the person that was sharing and not worrying about what I was going to say.
Right.
And it is a skill.
Right. And it takes practice. And like you said, that's where, you know, and you're going to hear a common thread in me talking about peer support, because my vocational training going into this job was not through a school of higher education. Mm-hmm. It was through the rooms, right? Through a 12-step program. Now, little did I know that service, sponsorship, fellowship, all these things would be the training ground, you know, to a career I love. Right. But they genuinely is, right? Like you talked about, practicing listening. It's involuntary listening, right? Because we go with the herd, right? And the herd is, well, we're not going to be talking when someone else is talking. I love that example of how we'll have a meeting and it can be 17, 30 people, or it can be three people. And we don't go 3 minute, 3 minute, 3 minute, 3 minute, but yet it still works itself out, right? It's that working together, working with others that I think we learn through practice, through repetition, you know?
Yeah.
And being, so one of the things that I notice in meetings that happened to me, kind of what you're talking about with the making it about yourself. And what I've learned is that the group, the flow of the meeting, this is what gives me freedom today to not think about myself, is because I know what everyone is saying in that room might not have a direct point to my life at that moment, but something they're saying or the way they're saying it, it has a forward motion in my life that does apply to what's happening, meaning that my higher power speaks to me through the group. And it's this awareness that everything is happening perfectly, that everything is happening for each one of us. It's this really interesting collective amalgamation, like mixture of there's something special happening here, right? If I'm willing to not be in my own head, which is what all the steps teach us. And so it's a practicing it.
Right. It's a hodgepodge or a crazy quilt, right?
Yeah.
Where it's these little pieces of fabric are going to eventually come together.
And we don't know how.
They don't necessarily
when.
Make sense, right, when we get them at the time.
No.
And I do love the saying, the teacher appears when we're ready. Mm-hmm. And I think that absolutely is probably the case with peer review. Someone can talk to you for 20 years about an issue that you probably subconsciously know needs to be worked on. But until you're ready to open it up, to break open, let some light in, nothing's going to work.
Right.
And that's what happens in meetings, is that when we're open and we're receptive and we're listening, then we do hear the message that we need to hear from our higher power. And it's such magic when you're like, oh my God, I hadn't even planned to come to this meeting today, and here I am getting this profound, you know, message that I need.
Right.
And the beauty of it is you can still be in your head thinking about yourself, and you're not wrong either.
Right.
That's very normal. If you are new to recovery and you're thinking about what you're going to say, I raise my hand with you because I've been there.
Welcome to the club.
And sometimes I still go there after 13 years. Yeah. It is just the nature of being human.
Absolutely. And so the active listening and then shared experience, right? So that's the other requirement for a peer. You know, I do want to say that, and I do say this to each and every one of my peers, that I'm not a doctor, I'm not a therapist, right? So I want to qualify that real quickly, because I'm not treating anyone, I'm not diagnosing anyone. I am, you know, meeting them where they're at, right? Recovery coaching, I like to say, who makes the best coach? Someone that's played the game, right? And so this is that understanding. But one of the most powerful things I can tell a peer is I've never been through that. Mm-hmm. Tell me how, you know, tell me more about that. Like, I'd like to understand. It's not a one-way street with peer support, just like we've learned in a 12-step program where sponsorship, you know, it goes both ways. Actually, it can dramatically go another way.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thank goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we had all the answers, would we even be here?
Right. No, we're right. I mean, or just that understanding of, like, you know, I love too in my job, which I think can be a challenge for quite a few people that are aware, or they're consistent with one type of program of recovery, to come into peer support, because this is not a 12-step thing. Mm-hmm. This is a recovery thing, right? So there are many different roads to recovery.
Can you differentiate for me, please?
Yeah, absolutely. So examples of recovery, right, would be IHP, IOP, right? Intensive outpatient, right? Intensive hospitalization. You've got REBT, which is rational emotive behavioral therapy, right? You've got cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT. You have smart recovery, which I always love that. I got to look up acronyms, right? But it's self-management and recovery training, which it deals a lot more in the science, a lot more in changing your habits, consequences, so on. You've got Quad A, which is a non-spiritual based 12-step group. You've got refuge recovery, which is a Buddhist principle of 12-step program. So all these different, you know, kind of AA, NA, you name it, right? Like, you know, even just the idea of peer support itself being a, you know, personal program, right? Which is, we're going to talk about recovery. We're going to talk about triggers. We're going to talk about experiences. We're going to talk about, you know, what do you want to change, right? So there's five different stages to recovery.
At least you guys have to see this book that this man has right here.
This binder is what dreams are made of.
Yeah.
Well, so, and not to jump ahead, right, but that is my resource. This is my folder. Another part of being a peer support specialist is being a resource broker, right? Meaning that my job is to actively connect with organizations, institutions, outreach community programs, whether it be for food banks, homeless shelters, you know, inpatient, outpatient treatment centers, NAMI groups, National Alliance for Mental Illness, you name it, right? And so insurance help, you know, legal help, mental health services, you know, even just physical and mental health, right? So getting connected with doctors, right. Dentistry is a big thing, right? All these aspects to health and wellness, which is why I tell my peers, I don't just see people with behavioral health or substance use. I can meet any peer that's 18 and over. Our organization, and I'm not going to mention my organization, but I will say that I love the healthcare provider I work for because they provide healthcare non-contingent on the ability to pay, right? And so we serve a very large part of the community which doesn't have healthcare.
Underserved,
and also,
yeah.
They don't charge for any of my services.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And I can meet with peers twice a week if they want, right? In a beautiful office, in a nice setting. I can meet them telehealth. I can meet them on the phone. You know, and so that's pretty amazing. All right, I'm going to hand it over to you and we're going to be.
Okay, so can I quickly say,
What if I said no?
I would just talk over you.
We'd be right back to where we were a few minutes ago.
And I knew I kind of talked over her, but I didn't want to lose this thought. A lot of people that come to the rooms or come into the program are like having their wake up of, I've got to do something. There's such a tangled mess in their lives from, it could be legal, medical, housing,
right.
Food. There's so many things. And I want to talk about overwhelming. I was talking to a friend yesterday about some things that we have kind of cleaned up in our life. And she said, I remember when that was insurmountable.
Right.
To you know, clean out the file box with old bills.
Right.
And it truly, everything in your life becomes insurmountable.
They're barriers.
Oh, God.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so many roadblocks.
And just the dentist thing. I mean, when I was out there, it's really fascinating to me that I just chose not to take care of myself physically.
Right.
I put buying makeup ahead of going to get my teeth cleaned.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean,
it's just outrageous the choices that we make.
Right. Well, I will put new rims on a car before I'll change the oil. It's kind of, I mean, this is literally.
But you looked good.
I was going to say, you know, I buy a brand new pair of kicks, but I'm dying inside, right? I mean, it's that face value stuff.
And, yeah.
You know, and I think that, so back to the stages of recovery, right? Mm-hmm. So we have pre-contemplation, right? Which is, I don't know what you're talking about, right? I don't have a problem. You know, mind your own business. Think you're over exaggerating, right? And we've all been there. Like, yep. There's no problem.
I have.
then there's contemplation, which is I can acknowledge that there's a problem. You know, I can see you have a point there, but I'm not ready to do anything about it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Then there's preparation and determination, which is when we're starting to get ready to change. It might be asking some questions about a program, right? Mm-hmm. It might be paying attention to the volume and frequency in which you're drinking or using. You know, it might just be having those questions in my mind, not even asking another person, right? Then there's action and willpower, right? Mm-hmm. So now we don't use that term in our 12-step program or necessarily, but the idea of action and change, right? So I'm actually going to show up to a meeting. I'm actually going to mention to my doctor or professional that I maybe drink or use a little too much, whatever it is, right? Then we have maintenance, right? Which is if we're starting to learn changes in a meeting, we're starting to be told things like call me each day, I'm starting to practice those things. Then we go to termination or exit. Now, these are the stages based on SMART recovery. I think that really, we'll call them, you know, pretty much pre-contemplation, contemplation, right? Then action, then maintenance, then long-term, right? Because I don't see there being an exit strategy to my recovery. I think that recovery is a journey, not a destination.
Sure.
So just that understanding of each and every one of those facets of the stages of recovery they're in recovery. Mm-hmm. I don't have to be sober to be in recovery, right?
You know, that is a really great point.
Yeah.
Because I think people think they relapse or slip or whatever it is, and like, that's it. I'm done.
You're out of the club.
Yeah. They're not, and I'm going to be judged, and they're not going to accept me, and right. You got to do all these things.
Right. Relapse is a part of recovery, mm-hmm. You know, and then that's where I think the beauty in my job as a peer support specialist is the open mindedness. That I know that there are certain programs that will say, right, certain things. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's incorrect, but different strokes for different folks,
right?
And that idea of not having one specific way, but having options, because that's that thing too, right? You know, if something doesn't work for me, I always encourage them to try something else. It's like, I like Mexican food. I go to a restaurant, I don't get the service I need, or it's not good. I'm not going to say I don't like Mexican food. I'm just going to go find a different restaurant.
Right.
You know?
Well, and it's this whole thing of I'm sure being able to see who your audience is.
Right.
Right. Who you're speaking to, what stage they're in.
Right.
Right. Where do you lean in? Because I think there's a point in my recovery and my growth process when sometimes a little bit of a push is supportive. Sometimes that push makes me go farther away the other side.
Right.
So it's really learning the dance of who that human being is and what is working for them, not working where they're at. I mean, it is a dance.
Right. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, dancing, right. It takes two to tango, right? So there's, mm-hmm. I always love working with peers. I'll tell them if we picture the word illness, right. And what is the first letter in illness?
I.
Right. And we got to get rid of that. Right. So, but I need to replace it with something. So let's replace it with we. Right. And then we end up with wellness. And that is that analogy for.
Ooh, that's good.
Right. Isn't that a good one? That's like one of my favorites. Right. Because I like those pictures in my head where, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of idea of, you know, we've heard it before. The opposite of addiction is connection.
Yeah.
Right. That this, you know, the man in the hole story, you know, all the sort of all these visuals that I get where it's the idea of one person just connecting with another person. Right.
Sure.
That's the beginning. Whether it's your first meeting you walk into, whether it's you join a support group online. Mm-hmm. I have so many, you know, and that's where WWPPG really did a lot more than it realized. And it facilitated a need, which is I have so much experience with people joining online groups in pre-contemplation.
Right.
It's safe enough to test the waters.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. That maybe even from thinking that maybe they'll get something from that, and they do.
Right.
Right. But that idea of like, you know, hey, come back when you're ready. Like, come on now. Like, how am I going to get ready? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we've got a friend, you know, that came to meetings for a long time, right? And was still under the influence. Mm-hmm. And thank goodness, because they came enough to where they realized, hey,
there's something to this.
Right. Yeah. You know, something clicked and you know, and then they were able to, you know, take off. And to watch them take off like they have is just one of those exact miracles where you go like, wow.
It's so powerful.
You know, or another example I'd heard of a guy who was like 12 different times went back out, and everybody in that group had kind of been like, all right, enough, like mm-hmm. enough already. And that person has like 13 years now. So who's giving up on who, right?
Right.
You know, I think that that's a big part of my job is that I'm a coach, right? But a coach meaning that one of my biggest assets is to encourage and inspire hope, right? So I'm talking about if it's even if they've adjusted their drinking lower, you know, it's not an abstinence model in recovery, right? This can be harm reduction. This can be someone that has gone from heroin to marijuana, right? I mean, whatever the case may be, I encourage, right? Mm-hmm. It's about, because the fact is, it's peer driven. I like that term, right? That they're driving the bus. Now, I'm giving roadmaps. Mm-hmm. I'm like a little GPS system where I'm rerouting based on where they're trying to go, but they're deciding on where they go.
And it's kind of what Vicky just said, because if you push too hard and say, this is what I see, right. You need to do this.
Right.
Well, how many addicts are going to go, okay, I'm going to do exactly what you tell me to?
Right.
No.
Right.
No, we don't do that. And my sponsor taught me a trick. We were talking about sponsor tricks earlier. And she said, you know, when you are sharing with someone or they're talking to you about their problems and you have some ideas, don't just say, so listen to me. It's much more productive and receptive if you say, may I offer a suggestion?
Yeah.
And like Mark said, he's not a counselor. You know, he's not trained in that, but he can rely on his experience. And it could be, may I offer a suggestion based on my experience?
Yeah. Well,
and that's so powerful.
Right. Or you know what's worked for me?
Mm-hmm.
And give them the options, right? Like, yep. I mean, because maybe it isn't going to work for them.
Right.
Right. I mean, this is where, like, the reminder of one of my biggest assets in peer support is how much, I don't think my peers realize they are genuinely teaching me,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, and then that understanding too of like, don't be an island.
Yeah.
Right? Like, because if I'm over here, happy, joyous, free, in recovery, like what's that got to do with me again, right? Like I'm, mm-hmm. you know, I'm lost. Or I'm so lost, I don't even realize I'm lost.
Exactly.
Right? And so that's, I'm going to try and give someone directions. And like you said, pre-contemplation, I don't need directions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay too. Like that's where my job is not to, my job is not to tell you where to go. It's to get you where you want to be.
Well, and allowing that person choice. So Paxson sent me this TikTok the other day about how, specifically around ADHD and autism,
mm-hmm.
and how taking things away and giving punishment, why it doesn't work,
right.
And it's because it's ingrained to go the opposite way,
right?
Unless it's a choice.
Right.
And when we give people a choice, and it's funny because when you're talking about this, I keep thinking about being in meetings and how even years later, I can remember something someone said and I can apply it to my life. There are things that we hear that we don't know that we're hearing. And I imagine when you're giving options to a peer, they might, I mean, I don't know if this has happened, but I could just picture based on my experience, they're probably like, oh, that one idea sounded kind of cool.
Right.
And maybe come back to that because
right.
it's always, if you have that open relationship where you really give someone the autonomy and the authority to choose for themselves, what a gift it is to say, oh, that one looks good, or I'm going to try that one. And if it doesn't work, not shaming, right? Like not making it wrong, being like, okay, so you have conquered this one thing. Now let's see what's next.
Right.
It's beautiful.
Right. I mean, you know, the reminder of inspiring hope and motivating, right? Motivational interviewing, right? Which is a term mm-hmm. that's used. And I don't cross that line as far as the, like a drug counselor, right? Because this is a cool part about my job is that this drugs is not what we're talking about. We're talking about health, home, community, and purpose, right? So we're talking about your health, physical mm-hmm. and mental health, whatever capacity that could be. Smoking cigarettes, eating too much, you name it, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about mental health, maybe some depression, some anxiety, coping skills for that. And we're talking about home. What is your home like, right? Home is a relative term, but I mean in terms of it can be, right, that you rent a room, you sleep in a basement,
mm-hmm.
you whatever it is. Maybe you don't have a home, right? Maybe you don't have a physical home. So working on that, working on what can you do to, sort of create a stable, everybody needs a space, right? even if it's a locker.
Right.
Right. And the importance in that, right? So helping them connect with resources, whether it be, you know, homeless shelters, whether it be HUD programs, whether it be, there are many government and state funded programs. Big shout out to 211. I want to make sure I get this one right in the resource. Yeah. So 211 is a resource support line that links callers to resources related to quality of life. That's housing, food, and other important services.
Is this for the state or?
That's for the state. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So we're talking about state of Illinois.
State of Illinois. Yep. And okay. I think 311 is a national.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So
beautiful.
Yeah. So then we go to community, right? So community meaning, you know, fellowship of a program, meaning my peers as a whole, mm-hmm. right? So meaning anybody that I'm friends with, family members, right? These connections around me.
Right.
And then purpose. What is my purpose, right? That's the coolest part, I think, about recovery is, I have to find it. It was a speaker the other day, and they said it, and I got to quote them, but they said, they said this phrase, and this is it right here. It says, the 12 steps takes broken people and makes them into life coaches.
Yep.
Right. Like, find your purpose. It might not be helping other addicts or alcoholics or people that are going through the similar situations, but in what we're talking about right now is the biggest example of turning a liability into an asset. Someone out there right now is listening to this, mm-hmm. and they have been through stuff that not many people have been through, or they're going through something that is so harsh or so dark that they feel like they want to get as far away from it as they can. But I know from my own experience that somehow recovery has allowed me to take that darkest closet in the whole universe, mm-hmm. and make that one of my biggest assets, right? And to help others, because right. every single time I help someone with that, it's like it changes the tone, it changes sure. the color, and actually becomes something. Yeah, I never thought this is gonna sound weird. I never thought I'd be proud to share with people about losing my dad to a self-inflicted overdose, right? Mm-hmm. I am. Like it's one of my biggest tools in my toolbox. And so how could I take something that I not only had a resentment for and it ruined my life per se, and now be able to use that as a gift? I mean, that's recovery.
Well, witnessing healing mm-hmm. in somebody is sometimes exactly what's needed
right.
to realize. So this goes back to my sister. Witnessing her, lights come on in her eyes. She lived in Technicolor when she got into recovery. It was super, I witnessed her actually do it.
Yeah.
Right? And so it took me a long time. It took me 6 months to actually even put my toe, even considering pre-contemplation,
right.
you know?
Right.
Right? But once I did it, it was witnessing the healing, witnessing the hope, witnessing the shift, witnessing the habit changing, witnessing the actions that gave me courage
right.
to actually try it on.
Right.
Yeah. And I think what I always think about is that we're all walking examples. And we talk about our responsibility. You know, our responsibility is to always have that hand out.
Right.
If someone asks for it. And I, you know, we get so used to doing our walk, you know, and talking our talk. And there's a person that I know that's been in my life for a little while and is kind of newly sober. And he said, seeing you and listening to you, how you really talk about the principles of the program in your life. I said, because this is how we do it. It's not just about not drinking or using.
Right.
It, you know, it's so much bigger and better than that. And I want to be in alignment with the person that I know I am.
Right.
I don't want to hide it, shame it,
right.
cover it.
Right. No, what you just mentioned is, you know, a requirement for peer support, which is I'm not hired as a teacher. It's about demonstrating the principles of recovery, mm-hmm. right? To be a person actively in recovery. And that's where I get, you know, cool opportunities to disclose information that would not be appropriate in a professional capacity. Right. Like, number one, I signed away my anonymity, you know, at a right. public level. Right. Because now I don't represent myself as a member of the program I'm of. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's obviously anonymity, but I mean, in terms of, you know, me being acknowledged and me representing myself as a person in recovery, right? So that's, you know, with outreach, you know, advocacy, all those things, right? I do that as a person in recovery. But think about, like, the business model of this and how dynamic it is, which is I am a person who is dying. I've found this new way of living, right? A healthier way, you know, a way of more a purpose and living my best life. And then in doing that, now my job is to get people to do the very same thing so that they can help other people. Mm-hmm. It's like a machine that builds a new 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 machine, right? Like that, the giving, you know, the never ending giving, right? That the seeds are planted. And I think that when I'm meeting with a peer and they say, oh gosh, I haven't thought of this in forever. I have this distinct memory of my last time being in treatment here at Alexian, and at 3 a.m. or whatever, I get up to ask for more medication or whatever, and I see this guy on the other side of the counter, and he's in this cool, God, I haven't even thought about that. That's where I bought my sweater from. This guy in this cool sweater and this like polo shirt, and he's writing something in a book, and I went, I wish so bad I was that guy right now. Right, because I wasn't. I was on the other side in a gown with socks with footy track pads on the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, like dying and getting my medication.
Yeah.
But seeing that person that was helping others, like that inspires a whole new realm of hope, which says I could do what he could do.
Yep.
But I just have to get there. Right. And so that's kind of the, you know, that's the perk of my job, is that in doing my job, my job is to stay sober. My job is to actively participate in my own recovery on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, I get to do that with others, and then I get to watch them blossom, you know, sure. And then them help other people. And it's, like I said, it's the same thing as we've learned in many other facets and programs. Yeah. The medical profession has just gotten on board in the last...
Thank goodness.
Thank you, medical profession.
And what do you do when you're having a bad day? Right. How do you support yourself?
Right. You know, and that's a really good point, right? Where, you know, we can talk about compassion fatigue, or we can talk about, you know, I can't give away something I don't have. But I think that that's where I rely on my team. Right, because it's not a me thing; it's a we thing. So, I have my sponsor, I have my grand sponsor. Sponsees come in a big handy, you know. And obviously, I'm never sharing any private information. You know, obviously HIPAA laws and anything like that. But I can tell them where I'm at, and you know, I have a great supervisor. I work with amazing doctors, medical assistants, psychiatrists, therapists, LCSWs, and I remember thinking too, like, going into an amazing healthcare provider, I'm like, okay, here's the premise. I'm a 20 plus year meth heroin user. I'm going to go into a healthcare center, and I'm going to privately meet with patients of these amazing doctors. And right, that sounds a bit wonky, right? But how engaging, how welcoming they've been to me, because I think they've seen, you know, they've seen through action, they've seen through how I advocate for my peers, right? How I advocate for recovery. Mm-hmm. And they've realized that in my role, I have a unique opportunity that they do not have.
Right. You have experience.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, the gift of your mess.
Right.
The gift of your brokenness, the gift of our mess and brokenness is that we get to be a support option to others if they so choose.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, I used to think that doctors were cops or judges. You know, and so that's a great part about my role, is where I'll hear peers say, like, I feel comfortable talking to you about this, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, like, because I'm not judging you.
No, how can you?
You're right. I mean, this isn't about anything except meeting you where you're at. And when they can, you know, learn over time, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but when they can learn that. That's exactly what this is about. Like, it's about talking, you know? I mean, about getting it out, you know, if we get it out, then we know what we're dealing with.
Right.
And we can do something about it.
Well, the monster under the bed, I'm sorry, no, the monster under the bed, when you shine the light on it, is not a monster necessarily.
It's a dust bunny.
Yeah, right?
Well, I was just going to say what the biggest gift that was given to me that first probably 30 days when I, the last time I got sober, and I'm still sober, was that I absolutely, I say this in my story, I absolutely did not believe that I could do it.
Right.
But I looked in the eyes of those five people in that little meeting in Alaska, Cooper Landing, and they believed it.
Right.
I'm like, well, look at them, you know, this, and that's what you give your peers. It's like, I know you don't think it right now, but lean on me.
Right.
Because we're going to show you.
Right. Well, I'll have peers say to me like, well, you won't understand this. And then they'll give me an example and I'll go like, man, I wish I had video of me. Like, you know, even going back to my family's this Christmas, my aunt said, you're a 4-foot conversation in a 2-foot room. Like, you were too much, man. Like, you know, I would make everybody real, real nervous. And, you know, because there was just a lot going on there.
Sure.
And they would say up and I would say down immediately. And so it's interesting when I'll hear peers say like, you're so together. You seem calm about everything. And I just giggle because I go like, no. Right. Like, but my job is to also make recovery look good.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't fake it.
No.
There's a great part. The lie detector. We know BS.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
All of us.
That's why it works. Why you saw those people. That's why when you're talking to them, they know you're safe because you can't pretend to know this stuff.
That's right.
You either are, you either know it or don't. And I think that's the beauty of what I saw in the hope I saw in the rooms was, oh, they're really telling the truth. Like there's no, they
you can't
they
fake
know.
The funk.
Uh-huh. No, you can't. And I am grateful that our culture here, at least in the U.S., I can't speak for anything outside of that, has become so much more open just to the alcohol-free movement, to there's more than one way to skin a cat. It's not just AA or nothing.
Yeah.
There's different programs that work for different people. And we're not saying if you don't do it exactly this way, you're going to fail.
Right.
There's so many ways.
Right.
And you being like this, like I said, it's the binder that dreams are made of.
Right.
Because you've got all these resources right here to help people. And oh my God, even 10 years ago, we didn't have this.
Right. And that's where, you know, the idea and encouraging anybody out there that is in recovery and doesn't really know what they want to do with their life. I'm not saying this job will make you a millionaire. But I've never once, it's funny because I get so much joy out of my job that one of my coworkers said, yeah, you do what you love. And every 2 weeks, this really weird thing happens where this leprechaun drops money into your bank account.
Yep.
Right? Because, you know, the fact is, what do they say? And I thought that was so cliche. If you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life, right?
It's the truth.
It's 100% the truth. And the fact is that we've been through the roughest vocational school mankind can ever go through, which is called addiction or mental health, right?
Yeah.
And so that idea of, so there are lots of different resources out there, and whether you go through SAMHSA, which is Substance Abuse Mental Health Services Administration, or you look into your local county or state, there are programs right now like Elgin Community College that are paying for tuition. They're paying for childcare. They're paying for transportation. They're paying for all the barriers to be knocked down to get someone through peer support training.
Right.
So they can put them in the emergency rooms, so they can put them into healthcare centers, so they can put them where they need to be. Because, you know, statistics have shown that peer support makes a substantial difference in someone's recovery.
Absolutely. Right? Now, the people that are suffering now, right this very minute, how do they find you?
Right. So the good news on that one is because I always find this idea of how, if I'm struggling right now, right, what do I do? Right. And so right back to our first episode, right, we reach out to 988, the hotline. That's a hotline that's trained professionals that work in mental health and substance use. You can also go on to SAMHSA website, which was, just to clarify and make sure we get that right. So SAMHSA is the SAMHSA website.gov, and you can find resources on that for peer support, for medically assisted treatment, which is some of the patients I see, which use Suboxone, ibuprofen. Mm-hmm. Those are opioid blockers. Next episode we're going to do eventually is going to be on Narcan, mm-hmm. and on what other services are offered medically, because that's another big part of my boathouse, right? Which mm-hmm. is, you know, opioid prevention, overdose prevention. But yeah, just the resources on there to connect with some sort of healthcare center, program, fellowship, whatever it is, get involved, because I didn't realize if I had gotten in to do this, I would have never worked. It would have never worked.
Right.
But I've got to get in to, you know, get a footing, get a foundation, right? But every single thing I did in recovery building up to this point was the vocational school I needed. Like you said, active mm-hmm. listening, shared experience, mm-hmm. hearing other people's messages, learning from other people, learning to work with others, right. Taking on responsibilities, right? And so on and so forth. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful gift. And so there are educational programs that people could take to right. go this route. Do you have to take that?
Right. It's great. So it can get real tricky. Acronyms are alphabet soup, mm-hmm. right? But I'm a CPRS, which is a Certified Peer Recovery Support Specialist. There's also a CRSS, which is a Certified Recovery Support Specialist. The peer meaning difference in I have lived experience.
Okay.
So let's just say my sister, who isn't an addict or doesn't have, she could still do that. She would just be a CRSS. Mm-hmm. Now, certifications are also different and wonky. We're working to make a national consistency because each state is different.
Okay.
That was my next question. Are we talking state by state?
Right. So IODAPCA, and do not ask me that acronym. It stands for the place that gives you the cert, okay? but that's who I got my certification through, and there's a minimum amount of requirements for on-the-job training, internship, continued education units, and so forth. But like the ECC program, they have some sort of fast track thing that's doing a different thing than IODAPCA.
Sure.
I think each place requires a different level. It also too involves Medicare, Medicaid.
Oh, sure.
Billing.
When you get into all the supplemental stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so yeah, but I mean, point being is, you know, it not about us without us. You know, that we're completely qualified if we're investing in our own recovery, mm-hmm. and what a better experience. I think it says in this book that we read a lot, it says, most of us will not make a vocation of this work. And I get to giggle every single time I read that, right? Because I love what I do, mm-hmm. you know, and it's helping others, and it's just kind of a gift that keeps on giving.
You are a gift, Mark. Mm-hmm. You are such a gift.
Yes. I'm going to get a little...
shocks.
super grateful for this man across the table.
Yeah.
He's done some serious work on himself so that he is able to give it to many people.
Yeah, talk about paying it forward. You are truly a walking example of not just the gifts of recovery, but of humility and devotion and accountability and all the things that we strive for in this new life that we're creating for ourselves. So thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Gonna make me all weepy.
Stop it.
Do this to me every time.
I'll stop.
We're gonna have everything
all
posted.
The links.
Yeah.
SMSA, Masa Masa, Mesa Mesa.
Alphabet
acronyms. I know, right?
We will get you all the links you need. And if you are in telling on ourselves 3@gmail.com, if none of those links work, you can always find us there.
Or send us a message on Instagram or Facebook.
Instagram. We will be there for you in any way, shape, or form that we can. And if you want to talk to Mark, we got his number.
Yeah, we'll put my information on there.
I want to put his... Yeah. Well, no, we won't put his number
No,
up.
Come on. Come on.
Bring him on.
Be careful what you ask
for,
young man.
That's right.
Awesome. Thanks, are we doing
guys.
Golden nuggets?
I got a couple of golden nuggets.
All right.
So many good ones, actually. But I really liked when you said the I and illness and then the we and wellness. And this really is... I like to think of it as wellness. It's not just recovery or... whatever it's, I'm trying to live the best life that I can live, and that's through wellness. And then you get when you said, "I get you where you want to be." So that having that mission as a peer is that I'm not here to tell you. I'm just here to walk the journey with you and help you get to where you want to be. And what you want to be is completely different than this other person's.
That's right.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
Mine, you stole my first one.
Oh.
That just means great minds think like.
That's right.
But the other one was you don't have to be sober to be in recovery.
Right.
And I think that is so important that people hear because they keep themselves away thinking that it has to look a certain way and it looks how it looks. It took me 10 years to listen to what that man said at the table when I first came into any sort of recovery, and we get here when we're supposed to get here, and there is no shame in this game.
No.
And my gold nugget is recovery is for everyone.
Yes.
Here. We could all use a little bit of wellness.
Yes, we could. All right.
Bye.
Thank you.